بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم نحمده ونصلی علی رسوله الکریم اما بعد الحمدللہ tonight is the 17th of April in the year 2024 and alhamdulillah we moved on to the 75th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the noble companion Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu. And I spent a few sessions in which we're taking a glimpse into a few of his blessed words of wisdom. And the last thing I mentioned was his rebuke to some of the people around him. And he said to them, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most abstinent from the world, but you people are the most desirous of it. This is in Ahmad Sahih report in Kanzul Umar, volume 2, page 148. So, like I mentioned, zuhd has nothing to do with wealth or a lack of it, but it is when the love of it enters the heart that Sayyidina Amr was warning about, radiyallahu anhu. Thus, how simply and beautifully did our beloved messenger clarify upon this most important matter when he was asked, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are the best amongst us? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one of you who does most without the world and most desires the hereafter. SubhanAllah. This is in Bayhaqi in Shu'ab al-Iman, number 10,521. So who was asking the question? It was the companions. So the companions, really what they were asking, who are the best amongst us? The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet ﷺ didn't mention any other act of worship. He only mentioned zuhd. He goes, the one of you who does most without the world, takes the least from it, and at the same time, he most desires the hereafter. So that is actually something which is a state of the heart. And this is why Abu Bakr Siddiq must have been the one who had this to the greatest level, radiyallahu anhu. And note, he was the Khalif. Indeed, such people are blessed with great insight into the reality of matters. How do we know? Because Abdullah ibn Abbas, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you see a person who is abstinent in this world, then draw close to him, for he passes on wisdom. When you see a person who is abstinent in this world, then draw close to him, for he passes on wisdom. This is recorded in Abu Ya'la al-Haytami in Majma al-Zawa'id 10-286, Hafiz Dimyati in his Al-Majj al-Arabi fi Thawab al-Amal al-Salih, number 2008. So now, what's interesting? Why have these people been given this great insight? Because Allah Ta'ala, when He loves an individual, He gives them gifts. So those who are blessed with the greatest understanding in the reality of affairs are those who are the least connected to the world. Then the Prophet, look at this, this is mercy, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should be those people. But what he was saying here was, if you can't at least be close to those people, people miss that point. In other words, if you can't be, you know, a zahid, the very least, don't deprive yourself of the great knowledge Allah Ta'ala blesses them with. And it's true. You notice those with the most profound statements, the deep understanding of reality, are those who take the least from the world. And why have they been given that? That's a gift from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Sayyidina Amr radiyallahu anhu, he would regularly exhort others to the glorious Quran, for it is related. Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu had a great affinity towards the Quran. He would recite it very distinctly and with great clarity. Subhanallah. This is recorded by Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullahi in his Al-Isaba, volume 5, page 2. So note these beautiful things we're learning about Amr. There are famous things about Amr. He was the conqueror of Egypt. He was the fox of the Arabs. But if you actually go deep into his life, you take a deep dive, you realize he had so many great qualities. Here's another thing that's not often mentioned about him. He loved the Quran. He recited with great clarity. In other words, beautiful recital. He would make, you know, he loved the Quran. Indeed, Hafiz ibn Qayyim, rahmatullah alayh, in his Zad al-Ma'ad, volume 1, page 30, he listed this great companion as no other as a scribe of the divine revelation during the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So think about that. When people say who had the honor to write down the Quran when it was being revealed. So obviously you mentioned famous companions. You say the Khilaf al-Rashideen, Zayd ibn Thabit, you know, etc., etc., radiyallahu ta'ala. How many would even think Amr ibn al-As is on that list? Now why is that even more interesting? Because Amr ibn al-As embraced Islam in the 6th or 7th year after Hijrah. So for 20 years the Quran was being revealed. Obviously he wasn't going to be recording Quran then. So in those last 4, 5, 6 years with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he became a scribe. And what was he a scribe of? Of the Quran. The high rank of the angelic, and according to some commentators of the Quran, the human scribes, can be determined from the fact that no other than our loving Lord himself has spoken highly and praised them in his book. Where? In Surah Abasa, Surah 80, verse 13 to 16. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم في صحف مكرمة مرفوعة مطهرة بأيدي سفرة كرام بررة. Written on honored pages, exalted and purified by the hands of scribes, honored and righteous. Subhanallah. So who is Allah the Almighty and Glorious referring to in these verses? All of the ulama of the Quran said he's referring to the angels. But some of the commentators said he's also referring to those companions who were honored to write down the Quran. So how does Allah Ta'ala describe them? He first says, "Fi suhufim muqarrama," written on honored pages. "Marfu'atim mutahhara," exalted and purified. Bi'aydi safara, by the hands of scribes. How does he describe them? Kiramim barara, honored and righteous. Who was one of the scribes? Amr ibn al-As. So according to some of the mufassirin, Allah Ta'ala has described him as being kiramim barara, honored and righteous. So not again endless honors for the great Amr radiyallahu. Another question that goes to the mind was being so well-versed, blessed with such a deep insight, Allah Ta'ala blessed him, he was the fox of the Arabs. You might think that nothing really troubled him, but there are occasions where he would not know the answer and he would humble himself. So here's a classic example. So in Bayhaqi, in his Al-I'tiqad, page 132 to 133 of the English translation, it mentions, Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu, he once asked Sayyidina Abu Musa al-Ashari radiyallahu, "I wish I could find someone who I can use to dispute with my Lord, i.e. for something is troubling me in this regard." Stop in the report. So Amr is troubling, something's troubling him radiyallahu. Who is he asking for clarification? The great Abu Musa from Yemen, Abu Musa al-Ashari radiyallahu. And he says, "I wish I could find someone who I can use to dispute with my Lord." So Abu Musa radiyallahu replied, "I will do it. Go ahead and ask, what's troubling you?" So Amr radiyallahu, he said, "Does he subhanahu wa ta'ala determine something for me and then punish me for it?" So what was troubling him? The famous question on the decree. It's like we say, if has Allah Ta'ala written everything? He goes, yes. So if he has written that I'm going to disobey him and he punishes me, he says, how do you explain that? So Abu Musa replied, yes, that's true. He decrees something and he punishes you. That's right. So Amr radiyallahu anhu said, why? Aye, for apparently, is that not injustice? I don't understand. Abu Musa radiallahu anhu replied, because he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is and will not ever be unjust to you. Sayyidina Amr then replied, you have spoken the truth. So now be honest. I'm sure the people listening didn't get it. When I read this, I didn't get it. I thought, okay, I understand the question. Famous question. If Allah Ta'ala has written everything, and that's including my sins, and I get punished for it, haven't I been basically forced to do something? Isn't that unjust? Or isn't that unjust on the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So what was Abu Musa's reply? And this calmed Amr. Because he is never unjust to you. He's never unjust. So Amr then said, you've spoken the truth. So let's break it down so we get it. The Almighty and Glorious explicitly says in the Quran, Surah Al-Kahf, Surah 18, verse 49, وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا, and your Lord treats no one with injustice. Look how simple the answer was. Amr, like we say, he was overthinking things. Amr radiallahu anhu, he was thinking, Allah Ta'ala has written everything. And if a person commits a sin, then Allah Ta'ala has written it. So isn't that, am I not forced into doing it? Isn't that injustice that I get punished for something Allah Ta'ala has written? Isn't that injustice? So Abu Musa, you can see that he knew the answer. He looked at Amr because he's never unjust. And Amr didn't ask him because he knew the Quran. Because you've spoken the truth. So where does it mention that he's not unjust? Allah Ta'ala explicitly says, Surah 18, verse 49, وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا, and your Lord treats no one with injustice. So there's the answer. But yeah, people go, you know, deep into it and they end up getting, you know, even apostatizing and stuff with Allah. Thus, although everything is known beforehand by our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, he still has decreed he will never be unjust. Look how amazing that is. He knows everything, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he has told us, do not let shaitan mess with you here, because I have also informed you, I'm never unjust. Thus the thought, he has been unjust to me, for he has decreed for me to go to hell. So what fault is there on my part? He's been unjust to me. This is a clear and grave error, for he has decreed never to be unjust. The Quran is telling you. Thus, a simple clarification of the matter is the following. He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, never forced you once to disobey him. Yet his knowledge is absolute, thus his knowledge of it was from pre-eternity. So if somebody says to you, okay, you commit sins, have you ever been forced to commit sin? Ever? And the answer is no. If you were forced to commit a sin, you got a point. You've never been forced. So the way to look at it is that he's never forced you. He never will. But his knowledge is perfect. Thus he knows what decisions you're going to make. Therefore, he can never be unjust. And this is why there's another report which explains further. In Imam Ahmad, in his Musnad, Ibn Abi Asim, in his As-Sunnah, and Shaykh Al-Bani Rahmatullah Ali stated Sahih in his checking of As-Sunnah, number 161 to 166. Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu, he once asked Rasulullah the famous question, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is it a matter that has already been decreed? Or is it a matter that will be ordained as we go? He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, replied, rather it is a matter that has already been decreed, O Umar. Umar radiallahu anhu then asked, why should we then make effort, Ya Rasulullah? Everything's written, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, no, it, I, goodness, cannot be attained except by working umrah. Umar radiyallahu anhu thereupon responded, we will then exert our utmost, Ya Rasulullah. So look how beautiful. Sahaba had these questions. So who's now had the same question? Umar. And he asked, look how beautifully he asked. He goes, is everything written? Meaning we can't change anything, Allah Ta'ala has written it. Or is it just happening as it goes along? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it's all written. Meaning it's not just happening, it's already written. So then Umar goes, what's the point of making effort then, Ya Rasulullah? In other words, if everything's written, you can't change it, sit back. The Prophet said, now you've made an error. He goes, no, it cannot be gained except by effort. And look at Umar's response. He didn't go any further into it. He goes, we will then make effort to the best of our ability, Ya Rasulullah. So to reiterate, the simple fact of the matter is that one is absolutely free to do whatever he wants. But the perfect knowledge of our majestic Lord overlaps all of this. That's the simple answer. And Lord Amr had this problem. He got clarification from Abu Musa and Umar from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus how true were the words of our beloved messenger when he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, speaking I ignorantly about Qadr is delayed now. It will be done by the worst people of my ummah in the later generations. Astaghfirullah. This is recorded in Bazar, Ibn Abi Asim and others. Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi stated Hassan in his As-Sahiha number 1124. Let's look at this. It's an authentic hadith. Speaking about Qadr is now delayed. What does that mean? Rasulullah said, I've taught you. You're now known not to delve into it. Believe it. It's an article of Iman. Believe in the good and the bad of Qadr. But look what he said. It's been postponed. What does that mean? It will be opened by the worst people of my ummah in the later generations. So if you want to know who the worst people of this ummah are, they talk ignorantly about Qadr. So they start saying this. No, no, nothing's written. God is never unjust. Why would he write things? He's forcing you to do something. It's just happening. Allah Ta'ala will never be unjust. So they're speaking ignorantly. And the Prophet ﷺ said, these are the worst people. Why? Because this is a kufr. Type of kufr that they're coming out with. So note, if you hear it, first readdress it. And if they persist, just walk away. I don't want to be mixing with the worst people of this ummah. Now look how strange. How strange a scenario that those who deny Qadr, because it doesn't make sense, they pride themselves on their logic. In another report, our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I fear for my ummah after me the denial of Qadr and belief in the stars. This is in Abu Ya'la, Ibn Asakir and others. Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi stated sahih in Sahih al-Jami, number 214 to 215. So look how strange. The Prophet said, one of my great fears for my ummah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that they deny Qadr, his unbelief. But then he says, and they'll believe in the stars. Somebody goes, now think about that. You go to that person, so you have said Qadr doesn't make sense. Yeah. And yet you believe in the stars. You blow the fuse. Right? So the Prophet ﷺ is saying, this is what's going to happen. And how many people say, absolutely, it's all written in the stars. And then you go about Qadr, because it doesn't make sense. Astaghfirullah. Thus, are we not now living in such strange times where people believe in star signs and touch wood to preserve their good look and endless other useless omens and trinkets, but at the same time denying the absolute reality of Qadr? To Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our complaint. So now, Qadr, Sayyidina Ali, he gave a beautiful, you know, clarification to a man. So this man was asking him about Qadr. He goes, and he was trying to say to him, look, believe in it, don't go into it. And he kept pestering him. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu eventually said, lift one leg up. So he lifted the leg up. So now he's standing on one foot. He goes, lift the other leg up. So the man goes, Amina Mu'minina. It's impossible. He goes, that's Qadr. So he brought it down to, you know, simple level. He goes, you've got something in your ability to do. You can lift one leg up. But there's a point you haven't got any authority. That is the Qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, don't go into it. Look at a beautiful, you know, simple example. Another example. Amir al-Mu'mineen. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Very famous example. This man was caught drinking. So he was brought to get, you know, flogged. And Umar was going to flog him radiallahu anhu. So the man goes, before you start flogging me, Amir al-Mu'mineen, hear my case. He goes, okay. He goes, are you going to flog me for something which Allah the Almighty had written? So Umar radiallahu anhu said, yes. Because Allah Ta'ala has also written this. And he flogged him. So what mistake was the man making? He was saying the same thing. He goes, Allah Ta'ala has written for me to drink. You should be rewarding me. Allah Ta'ala has written it. Are you upset with Allah Ta'ala's decree? And he goes, no. Because Allah Ta'ala has also written this. Right? And so no, you know, the Amir, the Khalaf Rashidin were, you know, explaining this principle. But some people, a'udhu billah, they go so much into it, eventually denying it and taking themselves out of the fold of Islam. But the simple answer is, not once have you ever been forced to do anything. And nobody can deny that fact. Nobody has ever been forced to do anything. So what is the problem then with understanding that Allah Ta'ala never forces you, therefore He's never unjust, but He knows because of His knowledge what decision you're going to make. But the key point is, and this is what settled Amr ibn al-As's blessed heart, was what Abu Musa said, Surah 18, verse 49. وَلَا يَذْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. And your Lord treats no one with injustice. Quite beautiful. Amr goes, isn't it unjust? If something is written, I'm getting, you know, you're getting punished for it. He goes, if Allah Ta'ala says that He's never unjust, O Amr, how can He be unjust? And then he goes, last, finish. And where do you find that verse to finish? In Surah Al-Kahf. And what do we know about Surah Al-Kahf? It protects you from all fitna. And look how amazing where you find these, you know, these precious verses of the glorious Quran. SubhanAllah. So all I mentioned again was a few things with regards to the great Sayyidina Amr radiallahu anhu. I mentioned very briefly, he loved the Quran, he would recite it with great clarity. He was a scribe of the divine revelation, maybe therefore being praised in the Quran. And despite his vast knowledge, something was troubling him. It was Qadr. And when Amr ibn al-As got the answer from Abu Musa, it left him. Allah Ta'ala is never unjust to His servants, SubhanAllah. And then I mentioned a few things with regards to the matter to explain this critical article of Iman. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي الحمد لله اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل الانسان الذي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات واصبر الحق واصبر الصبر صدق الله العظيم